This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get a free audiobook download today.
Yo, hold up. How we go from taking Kale to the hospital to catching a goddamn snake?
You know where you are? You're in the middle of the jungle.
Is it just me, or does the jungle make you really, really horny? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 156. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian J-Lo Nipple Shirt Dunaway.
Hey, this is Danny Trejo. You may not remember me from this movie, but I was there. My role got cut back a little after the boss caught me and J-Lo getting nasty with the anaconda puppets. Also, I think they dubbed my voice over with the boss's mother-in-law making whoopee with John Voight.
That's the worst, Danny
somewhere
Trejo.
Somewhere between Tommy Chong and Mr. T is my Danny Trejo.
That's just about right. It's horrendous. Also with us, Randy, forget John Voight's car. Don't forget John Voight's boat.
Mm.
Oh, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott. This week on Film Sack, we watched a movie that you might think makes no sense, but I've got an explanation that puts it all right. A reason that will fix everything you might think is wrong with this movie, and I'll give you a hint. John Voight is the snake.
Some extra suspense brought to you by Skype.
Yeah, by Skype. And, some sort of weird, you got some kind of download thing going on back there. It came through just fine. I've never heard a more healthy F-bomb in my entire life, to be honest. Made me feel better about myself. Where are we now? Oh, Brian, soaked in monkey blood Ibit.
this is the best movie adaptation of Disney. Oh, let me just start over here. This is the best movie adaptation of Disney's Jungle Cruise ever released. I think they should actually add an animatronic John Voight to the ride to creep everybody out. This river will kill you in a thousand ways.
His accent. We'll talk about that, I think, at length, because it was a weird choice that was.
Yeah.
Was he? Oh, man. Were people from Argentina? They just look like John Voight. Am I supposed to just be cool with that, Are they more, you know, brown and different?
The accents are all over the place here. I really don't think the filmmakers cared.
Yeah.
I don't think
somewhere between Father Guido Sarducci and a French guy.
Yeah. And it moved around a lot, moving target, that accent.
And it was constantly had his lower mouth, jaw, kind of with his lips kind of drugged down, and it was just it was fantastic. Kind of
The De Niro face.
Yeah, right. It was a De Niro face almost, and he always had his mouth agape. And I'm like, that's so dangerous in the Amazon. That's not a good idea.
Well, it's Anaconda, folks. I'd not seen this film until now, and when I was ahead of this movie wondering what the hell was going on and whether or not this is something I'd like, I wasn't really sure until Scott Fletcher saved the day.
Anaconda! When deranged snake hunter Paul Cerone tricks a film crew into taking him on their boat so he can go hunt a giant anaconda, the group soon finds itself up the Amazon River without a paddle as they become prey for the fearsome reptile.
Right. Fantastic. Multiples, though, right? There were more than one because the one got shot in the eye.
No. Don't give it away, man. Well, there's gonna be Anacondas Part 2. So
you think you're still hopeful that'll be made?
There was an anaconda.
It was already made.
There was multiple anacondas, and there was multiple anacondas in this too. If you haven't seen it, which shame on you, it's 1997.
Oh, Anaconda is this one. In 2004, there was an Anacondas, the hunt for the blood orchid.
Yeah, right. Yep. Which was not that bad either.
There's a three and a four.
Absolutely. Yes.
Straight to video, I'm sure though.
Yes.
One has David Hasselhoff in it.
Yes.
In his Baywatch outfit.
What is going on? I'm looking right now. Oh my gosh, look at him.
Right.
You have to see Anaconda 3 Offspring's cover. I need to see this terrible film. This sounds great.
Right.
Oh my God.
John Rhys-Davies is in this. What's he doing?
Telling the one with Hasselhoff?
Yeah, he said, you'll have my axe and my pity for me being
right. Honest. Right.
You know, it's really good when you look down the cast and hardly anybody has photos.
No. Well, at least the first one did.
Except for Hasselhoff, right?
Hasselhoff, who's got like 12.
Right. I'm totally going to see that. I don't care what it takes. No matter what occurs, I will find you. All right, let's get on with it. This is Anaconda, directed by Luis Llosa? Is it two L's there?
It's a Y sound, Llosa.
Okay, Llosa. Luis Llosa, directed Anaconda. Written by Hans Baer, Jim Cash, and some other guy. Stars John Voight, Jennifer Lopez, Eric Stoltz for about 5 seconds. And don't forget.
No, he was there the whole time.
Ice Cube. Yeah, but he spent most of the time in bed with a hole in his neck.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
he really
true.
Did. I'm thinking, ooh, look at it. I know him. Some kind of wonderful. Let's get this on. And then he's out.
Right.
He's out. Because he ate somehow he ate a bug. Yes, he was Mask.
Okay. I couldn't remember if I was getting him confused.
Rocky.
He was Rocky Dennis. That's right. Cher was his mother. and he was almost, or he was actually filmed as Marty McFly for the entirety of the first Back to the Future movie, but then they decided it didn't work, and they went and refilmed everything with Michael J. Fox.
Great, great choice.
Well, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think he could have done all right back then. It was just the different tone, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't he rumored to be just a real pain in the ass to work with?
I don't know.
Eric Stoltz.
I don't know, maybe.
And that's why
that's just changed it. No, Cher was just spreading that rumor around.
The ugly little shit just drive me crazy. So I don't. The stuff I read about the Back to the Future stuff was that it was an agreement between both director and him that they just felt like something just wasn't working.
Mm, okay.
So who knows though? You never get full stories on this stuff. So
that's the story they'd like to see.
Yeah. Frank Welker's in this film, voice of Megatron. Oh, yeah. He is the voice of the snake.
He goes, hey,
so much wrong with that. Yeah, pretty much.
It says right here, Frank Welker voiced Anaconda, the voice of the snake. So all the screeching you hear and all that stuff is Megatron doing his thing.
Right, right. All the cat screeching sound.
You want to, and he was really high pitched back then. Like, I don't know if you remember, but even his, the 80s cartoon version of
Cobra.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was in Cobra. Did he do Cobra Commander? I don't remember.
I can't remember either. It seems like if he didn't, I always got too confused.
He may have done. I think Cobra Commander was also Starscream. I think that was the crossover.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
But Welker was not hired to do the Transformers movie, and I don't know why, because I'm hearing him in the new Transformers Prime cartoon that's now going to have 3 seasons and then end. He's amazing in that. Right. Really good, but not as high pitched. So I'm sure at the time they're like, we need this snake needs to sound organically high pitched. And they said, all right, well, Frank Welker's not doing anything. So hire that guy.
We need a transformer.
Because we can't just have it, you know, hiss like a snake.
Yeah, I mean,
not good enough for this movie.
Yeah, why would it?
It's a total movie trope, though, that any time you've got giant insects, giant reptiles, giant whatever, they have to make. You know, if they're normally silent creatures, they have to make some god-awful...
And they have to mix together all the sounds of the jungle. Right, it's not just one hissing sound that mm-hmm. Frank Welker brought out of his own mouth. It's like that, plus a braying goat, plus a there's a sound like a pig in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that a lot in horror movies. They did that a whole bunch during the 70s.
Yes.
Well, yeah, all the Star Wars creatures are like that. Ants is like that. What's the other one I'm thinking of that I can't think of now? Oh, Jurassic Park was all kinds
Exorcist
of weird.
Exorcist and all that kind of stuff. It all did the animals.
I'm all right when it's done
the Omen
smartly, but this felt wrong. Like, why would you scream and make these
sounds? I mean, most of it sounded like Owen Wilson, you know, being horny is what it sounded like for the most part.
Do you want to hear the two runners-up that almost beat Frank Welker, but he won in the end? Here are the runners-up. Number one. They didn't let him do that one.
That sounds more like a snake.
Yeah, and here's number two.
Excuse me.
They just said, no, too far the other way.
Wow. I would have loved that snake.
Bring it back. Yeah. Film is listed among the 100 most enjoyably bad movies ever made by the Golden Raspberry Award. Founder John Wilson's book says this, the official Razzie movie guide. And I'm here to tell you, I didn't see it before now. This is brand new viewing for me. You guys all saw it, I assume?
Yes. Everybody?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Okay, so everybody's seen it but me. It was a movie I should have seen or would have. I don't know why I missed it or what happened there. 97, is it?
97.
97, right.
Year after.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what happened there. I had my second child in 97. Maybe that was it. And it was got so busy. We just, you know, and never bothered to rent it or whatever, something. But I am here to tell you that even though they reportedly spent $100,000 per second on the CGI work for the snakes, not money well spent.
That's crazy.
Where does that money go?
It's like Sci-Fi Channel money.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Shut up for
97.
Defend your point. How was any... I mean, look, I understand it's 97 and I understand we're trying to move up the chain, but Jurassic Park came out in 93 and still looked incredible and still does today, by the way, the CGI.
Yeah,
in that movie.
It does and it...
Oh, and it holds up, dude.
It does, and but it doesn't blow me away like it did when I first saw it. I mean, you can it's definitely,
yeah. But hold that point is hold that up next to your Anaconda $100,000 a second money, and those snakes look terrible.
But they're fast moving, and I don't know, man.
Sonic the Hedgehog was fast moving. All right,
yeah.
Didn't make it the best graphics on any platform at the time. I'm not looking. I don't want to nitpick too much.
I'm not necessarily thinking about the texturing they did. Then I was thinking more about the animation of how it was actually animated is fantastic. And how they would have these foreground scenes with these actors with the snakes and even all the way down to a Owen Wilson shaped anaconda.
Oh, that was gross. Even though that looked terrible, it was kind of still gross to have his face in there, like in Scream face.
Right. And so I don't know. I think it was
when he was in the swamp and he got rolled in the swamp and his face came up for a second. He was kind of going that.
Yeah. Right in the foreground. It was very effective.
That got me. Yeah. All right. So, but my point, what I wanted to get around to is despite the fact that the effects looked really stupid and all that, I really had a load of fun with Anaconda. Yes. I really did.
Yes.
It's fun. I don't know what to call this. It's just a, this is
no, that's the thing.
What is it, you Brian? Know,
we've had the bad movies that are just a chore to watch, and I'm trying to think. A couple of weeks ago was the bleak one with
Barbarella.
No, Mimic.
Mimic. Yeah.
And Barbarella. No, I enjoy Barbarella.
I'm still enjoying it right now. Me and Owen Wilson are going to watch it later.
But there's the bad movie that is just bad and it's a chore to watch and it's a slog to try and get through. But then there's the bad movie that at least keeps things moving to the point where, oh, this is bad, but that part's over. Let's get on to this. Oh, this is bad. Oh, but that's over. All right, let's get on to this. You know, where it just doesn't feel like it's as much of a pain to try and get through. It's fun shit is what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. What's the word? It's like the thing that Spielberg was so good with the Indiana Jones movies at doing, which is being reminiscent of stuff you'd see in a matinee in the 40s and kids would flock to theaters and sit all day watching these cereals. Yeah. They really captured that kind of feeling for me. And I was ridiculous and I was having a ball. And when that thing spit him out, and he winked at him. I don't know if I've ever laughed that hard in a film sack movie. And I'm not laughing in a bad way. I'm laughing in all the right ways, and I wanted it to continue to go on.
Laughing in all the right ways. Oh my gosh, say that again many times.
Laughing in all the right ways, and it was so much fun to just who's gonna die in the worst way next? How is it gonna be silly and goofy? Oh, that English guy's gonna die for sure because you don't have a guy like that on the boat without him dying.
Right.
Like all that fun stuff was there in droves. I loved it.
Let's talk about the excellent cast. None of these people were knocking it out of the park at this time. All these guys were kind of trying to get, you know, started with their careers or trying to keep, you know, trying to revive their careers a little bit.
In most cases, starting other careers.
Yeah. And so, you know, but everybody's a familiar face. I mean, you know, so that makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, so you had Owen Wilson up till then was really, if you knew him at all, and if you knew what Bottle Rocket was, then you were already in and you got it and you knew there were things coming. But if you didn't, he was being hired to be dumb surfer dude in everything he did.
Horny. dumb
surfer horny dude. Surfer dude. The one girl looked like Alyssa Milano a lot.
Carrie Wuerr. This is the whole reason why I went to see this movie was because of her. I loved her back in the day.
I don't know her at all. Why can't I put her
she
in something
was on
else?
MTV, thing, MTV. Wasn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, she was on game show for.
She was a game show. I was trying to think. Was she a VJ?
Oh wait, yeah, the one with the one with Colin Quinn and the
no, not Remote Control. Was it Remote Control?
It was the other one. Wait a second.
Actually, no. I take that back. Wikipedia says Remote Control. I thought it was something else. I thought it was it wasn't the dating one because that was Jenny McCarthy.
Right. It wasn't the John Stewart thing. That was just a talk show.
Right. Okay. Right. And I guess it was Remote Control.
Wow. Weird. I did watch that. Now it's all coming back to me. But she looked like Alyssa Milano.
She was in Sliders. She was.
And on TV, she was on a lot of stuff. She was on.
Oh, yeah.
Several episodes of 90210.
Severely.
You know?
Severely Place. I remember. Yeah.
She was one of the stars of Sliders. I guess that was later.
Yeah she was on Sliders for a while.
I like Sliders.
At least. What at least a good two
there's your connection seasons. Sliders had her and then I also had John Rhys Davies who was in Anaconda 4 or 3 or whatever.
Right.
So there's a connection.
She was in Eight-Legged Freaks. Did you ever guys see that? That was pretty good too.
I've never seen Eight-Legged Freaks. I think it bugged me that they were trying to force me into seeing a movie that was supposed to be campy on purpose.
Right.
I started having a problem with movies like that around barely the late 90s where I was going, I get it. You want me to feel this way. Whereas this movie, I think they achieved it without forcing it. Like they made it feel like a cheesy old monster flick without meaning to.
Without making it into parody.
And it's hard to do that, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real skill if a filmmaker can actually... I can't think of other examples right now. But.
Okay, sure, but the movie really stinks.
Oh, well, of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
It's not good, and it's not... Yes, it's not good. There's nothing about this where you go, man, what a great... And,
it's not even among our list of the best bad movies we've seen, but it was fun.
Oh, I had a ball. Right? I had a ball. Yeah. I laughed. It went fast.
Right.
It was like an arcade game where I didn't care about the 50 cents I spent. It just was just ridiculous fun.
None of the characters stayed on point. I mean, all the actors were all over the place. One minute acting pretty good, next minute horrible acting. And, you know, a lot of things they did made absolutely no sense. I mean, so it was all over the place, but it was just fun.
I was just waiting for the snake. How soon are we going to see him? Okay, sweet. There he is. All right. Who's the first person going to kill? Let's make bets. Like that's fun. And how are they going to die? And I didn't expect them to hork John Voight up on the deck there. Right. And I still don't quite understand why he did. Like,
they explained that at the very beginning of the movie. Sometimes anacondas are so vicious that they will regurgitate the ones they have swallowed so they can eat again.
Yes. And you know, like that's like the heaviest handed foreshadowing that they could possibly do. Like, by the way, look for this. We might use this.
Yeah. Oh, and don't look your victim in the eye. Talk, and then you're like, oh, when's this gonna come? And then, that was fun.
And then John Voight anacondas her on the ground. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Think about that. Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second. Meta, man.
He anacondas her.
Yeah, like all of those things I usually would shun and be pissed about and irritated that they were in there, but I don't know what was going on here. The rhythm was right, just felt good. I had a ball.
Can we hit the first trope right off the bat?
Always hit the first trope.
My scrot.
You can hit the scrot.
When you're introducing the ensemble cast, make sure that they each have a line that gives you an exact encapsulation of what their character is.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Oh,
right.
Over here's Frenchie. Oh, hello. Over here's.
Yeah.
Don't drop my bag.
Right. When they were introducing everybody, was they getting on the ship? Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. Yeah. And they just go around, oh, and here's our producer, you know, Owen Wilson. Hey, guys, I really, you know, wish I was over on the beach over there.
Yeah, I was surfing right now. You got any weed? And you got, oh, my gosh, could Ice Cube been more in his street days? Jeez. Yes. I got some good clips of that.
And you know, some of the music is by him, too. So
Right, the music he's playing on his boombox, right?
Oh, is that him? That's in like what, NWA or something? Or I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm not 100% sure. Was that Eazy-E who was singing in there?
Probably. Dude, Eazy-E. I used to love NWA. And now that we've seen where those guys have all come out and said, by the way, most everything we were doing was complete theater. Like we were not straight out of Compton the way we pretended to be.
And, what you said in that song.
Yeah. And it's straight great. I like that. I like that particular veil has been lifted from like rap lore. And
right.
And they are, I, for some reason, I feel like that's something to be proud of, where normally I'd say, oh man, you bunch of you fakers,
posers,
right?
Yeah. Rip Van Winkle, you didn't get stabbed.
But instead, you know, Ice Cube making Fridays, which seems in line, but then going to making like a bunch of kid movies. And, you know, what was that one with Robin Williams where he's traveling across the country in a van or something?
Is it RV?
Yeah, was it RV? I don't remember. Combination.
Ice Cube was in another one. But
it's something like that. But yeah.
Oh, aren't we there yet, probably?
Yeah.
Are we there
yet? I love all that stupid crap. He's great. I love him.
I'm looking forward to those kinds of actors when they're old, when they're elderly.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what Ice Cube does when he's in his 70s.
That's a great idea.
They could do it next Friday. No, yeah, wait.
Let's see what Ice-T is doing in his 70s. It's not as far off as you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ice-T will still be doing...
Man, Law and Order special... old people unit. they're already so old, every one of them. And do you guys have a big enough television to notice that the digital makeup on these guys is like makeup. It's getting annoying.
Really. Oh, it's her. What's her name? Mariska. What's her name?
Hard to
tell. All of them. Everyone on those shows.
Yeah,
you're right. Watch SVU on a huge TV, and it will blow your mind if you pay attention to their foreheads, how the wrinkles smear around.
It's weird.
Shot to shot. You're totally wrinkles, right. It's scary. It freaks me out. It's like watching horror.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a freaking procedural.
It's like the DTs,
drama.
Dude. It's like you're coming off a heroin. You're seeing stuff. And you're right. It's like this weird ethereal kind of the flesh is moving. It's like, remember in the 80s, it was all the rage to, if your special effects included bubbling arms or something or necks and they put little airbags underneath the skin. And that's what it reminds me of. Yeah. We're entering.
I'm not going to like start a movement to get the digital makeup out. But it sure annoys the hell out of me.
It's weird. It's hard to not see it once you've seen it. That's the problem.
I'd say what's hard to look at. That Dallas. Have you watched the Dallas thing since they started redoing that?
Oh no, my God. I haven't seen it at all. This is my problem, okay? Here's my problem with TV right now.
Okay.
Everyone's too good looking.
Okay.
Everyone's too good looking and young in everything. Now, you might say to me, well, Scott, that's a sign of you getting older. But I would say, no. Look, make your vampire show. I'm mostly talking about the WB here, but make your vampire show. Make your whatever you got to do. But not everyone is hot. And even the old people they have. Oh, here's my parents. And they walk in and they should be in their 60s and a little frumpy and wrinkly. And they're like the best looking 60s parents in the history of the world.
Did you not watch 21 Jump Street or 90210 or anything?
I did, but those had ugly people. They had Jerry Seinfeld's dad from Seinfeld in the first pilot. And he was ugly and weird looking.
Yeah, that Ian Ziering guy was ugly.
Right. And there were plenty of people at the schools and even in the department who were ugly. I'm telling you, there's something's changed. Everyone's a Barbie doll now, and I hate it. This is why I'm pro Jennifer Lawrence, because she's normal, and I want more of that. Let's have some normal girls, please. Thank you. All right. Mainly it's the dudes, though. It's like, oh, we got to go to the doctor, and the doctor's some dapper, freaking hottest doctor you've ever seen, a master of thoracic whatever at Hospital Joe, and he's the best thing they've ever seen in the history of the world. Like, no, dude, you should be 52. You should be a little slow and gray. I mean, just give me something. I don't like this current trend toward Barbie everybody. I sound old when I say this.
All right. I love it.
Yeah, these teenagers all looking good on the television. You know, they're not believable.
That's right.
Attractive people, whatever.
What are you trying to do? Make my wiener move? Cut it out. What else? There's some other stuff here. Despite the fact that this was filmed in Super 35, the filmed in Panavision is listed at the end credits, which I think is kind of cool because I think they did it on purpose.
Right,
just think about that. Filmed in Panavision sounds like something from the 60s.
And mm-hmm. That's I can see that.
That's kind of rad. Here's this.
Muskrat.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. I really didn't mean to push that. Movies that explain the scenes of things you fight in the opening credits. Oh, the science. I put scenes for some reason. The movies that explain science in text. So it's like the opening thing, there's a little bit of music, you know, and then there's a black screen with red writing that tells you the history of snakes and Central American, right, this and that and jungle, whatever. I don't need all of that.
You don't need to be educated. I can't be educated before my movie.
Well, it's all going to be bullcrap anyway. Like, it's not going to be real. Either the science is fake, or I don't understand the point of it. To me, it's like it's forcing narration in your, you know, Dark City movie when you don't need it.
It's making the director's job too easy if they just write things down for you instead of putting it into the plot to explain something.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You guys like Dark City?
I love Dark City.
Dark City, absolutely.
Love Dark City. All right. I'm sorry.
Love Darkman too.
You took me somewhere there. Danny Trejo cameo. Brian brought that up. What else is going on?
2 seconds.
I used to have I had a thing for Eric Stoltz for a while. Not like gay or anything, but like I thought he was awesome. Well,
in what kind of way? I mean,
what are we talking about here, Scott?
Something about him. Just something.
How uncomfortable should I be right now? I mean,
I just thought he was an interesting face, the way he held himself, and I got excited when I saw this. I thought, oh, he's in this, and his red hair is all gelled back the whole time, and isn't he cool? And then he ate a bug somehow, and then
he was kind of the hipster of our time. You know, he was hip.
Was he hip?
He was hip.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How hip do you have to be to wear scuba gear and still get a bug in your mouth?
Well, right. The bug was put into his scuba gear.
Oh,
by Mr. Voigt did
it. How did I miss that?
When he was talking right before he choked out Kari on the.
Oh, with his legs.
Oh, did he explain that?
I don't think he explained it.
Yeah, he told one of them. He said, I can't remember if he told Jennifer Lopez or if he tells Kari, but he tells one of them that how the wasp got in there.
The only time I ever said anything to Jennifer Lopez.
Put the wasp in the scuba gear.
I did it.
I was in Midnight Cowboy.
Believe it or not. Wait, that's wrong.
My daughter will show her leg at the Oscars.
I am Angelina Jolie's dad.
Somehow inexplicably, this ugly man.
How does this happen?
I don't understand. Anyway, John Voight, weird looking, always has been.
Let's talk about it. We got to talk about the accent. We promised we'd talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Supposed to be Argentinian, right?
Right.
Paraguay.
Oh. No,
I thought it was supposed to be Marlon Brando is what I thought it was supposed to be. To be honest,
I'm gonna make that snake an offer. You can't refuse.
Yeah, but you're right about that. You're right that he was kind of also channeling
De Niro,
Taxi Driver, De Niro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was, you know what? Look, part of me says, Scott, this is a part of the thing you complain about on the show. So complain about it. But part of me doesn't want to because part of me thinks this is great. Part of me is, again, the movie somehow took really shitty things I usually get under my skin and made it work. And I looked forward to everything he said. So as soon as he'd see him and he's like checking Lopez out while she's trying to change again or whatever he was doing, he's always leering at her while she's in a room somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, he's going to say something. And he'd go, the freaking snake of the something something. And I go, yeah, that wasn't even the same sound you made before. I love that about him. So I'm not going to complain about it. I think it was great, and I don't want it any other way. Like, you know, I can complain. Look, you can complain about what's his name, Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You can look at that and go, come on, man. Why even try to have the accent? You're not holding it minute to minute. And you can get irritated and mad. Somehow it didn't happen to me here. Somehow I was like, sweet. Keep this up.
I want to hear. Well, you know, I want to hear Randy's like, hate.
Well, no, it's a matter of character and performance, right?
Yeah.
Nobody ever brings it up that suddenly out of the blue Han Solo refers to the Millennium Falcon, you know, right. because the rest of the thing, everything else the character is doing is great and the performance is fantastic.
Right.
But here, this movie sucks so bad that you start down, like the water starts flowing downhill and you have to go with it.
Yeah.
And as it goes, you start realizing, wow, Owen Wilson's really freaking ugly. Not just like, he's not like, even when he was 23, he was ugly. How is that possible?
Yeah, he is an ugly man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And his brother is so freaking dashing.
Which one?
Right. The one that we watched on the Theocracy.
Right. The third brother never says anything. He's in a bunch of stuff, but he's just sort of there with the beard. Mm-hmm. But Owen, not Owen. Owen?
Luke.
No.
Luke Wilson.
Yeah, Luke Wilson is kind of weirdly handsome. You're right.
Yeah, and he was – I remember when I first time I saw him on X-Files, and Scully had a hots for him. I thought that was fantastic. Hmm.
This movie is so bad that I spent most of it, every time Owen Wilson spoke, imagining that there was an animated race car on the boat.
With seriously. Eyes and – yeah. Yeah, that's great. Had a friend that's played by Larry the Cable Guy. I got it. Yeah. Look, Randy's right. He's right. It's not good. I know I keep reiterating this. I don't know what they did right here for me. Maybe it was just the day I watched it or something.
And the other thing is, as I referred to in my greeting, and I'll be referring to some more, there's no explaining. You cannot explain how this film gets to its end. There's like the only thing I could come up with was that John Voight's character is protecting the snake. And how was this character protecting the snake? Doesn't he want to live like everyone else? Well, okay, so he thinks he's going to live and everyone else is going to die. Okay, how do we get him past all of that? He's married to the snake. That's the only possibility. John Voight's character has been to a wedding ceremony with an anaconda.
Where he made a commitment.
They have been having a loving, consummated marriage. Yeah. I don't know how you have sex with a snake, but that's what he has done.
Yeah. You don't know how to have sex with a snake? I mean, come on, man.
We're going down the river here to get my snake wife and bring her back.
That is the best explanation for the plot of this movie that I can come up with. And I thought about it because there's nothing to do for the last hour of this movie but wonder what in the hell is going on. And so I thought about it. That's it. John Voight's married to the snake.
We must blow up this snake dam so all of my snake children can land on this boat.
Yes. Yes. And what's funny is road trip films.
Hello, babies. Go back to your mother.
go.
She got custody. You go. You go
ahead. That needs a woman's touch. I cannot do it.
I heard Inigo Montoya in there somewhere. Yeah.
I can only earn the money. She must take care of you.
Smell them. But like the movie has so few points for you to actually grab onto. Like, for example, they're in a boat on a river. They wanted to go make a documentary, but things are all going wrong. Thank you. There's plot to that. And
what was the documentary about, Randy?
It was going to be a documentary about like Aboriginal people.
Right.
Right. They were looking for some really rare
village in the mist or the
village in the mist.
For some Indians.
And so you're like, oh, trip movies are awesome because there's humor that can be found and people fall into conflict. You pack people together in a car, a boat or plane or whatever, and they fall into conflict. But this wasn't a good trip movie. There was nothing there that was reminiscent of a good trip movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
people fall into water in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. The scene in the inexplicably ornate shanty building or whatever it was at the end with all the metal and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's where they spent their big money. I think that was the scene where
it wasn't the snakes. Sure. It was the
right. Yeah. And here's the best part. The best part is he is running from the snake now because his plan has been foiled. He's got Ice Cube and he's got J-Lo in the snake's grasp. The snake's about to bite Cube in the head. They're covered in monkey blood, and it's looking bad. Suddenly, he pulls a thing, and there's a big net, all right, a big Gilligan's Island kind of net pops up.
Right.
And now they can't get out, and they're thrashing around. Then the snake gets out somehow. I forgot how that happened. What happened there?
It's a net, and he's a snake.
Right, and there's no point. So he goes up after him pretty quick there and pulls him down on the ladder, which I thought was awesome. Like, all that stuff was great, how they were just fighting and wrestling and everything. But at some point, Ice Cube foils his chances of getting away from the snake by pulling something with his foot. Ice Cube's freaking Chuck Taylor feet, which rapper Cholo feet he's got. And he flicks something and up comes that net that's maybe covering, 3 feet across and about 5 feet tall.
Right.
And that is enough for John Voight to go, no, when he gets all tied up in it.
His wife.
Comical.
See?
It's his wife, right.
The snake is his wife. Mm-hmm. You think about this.
Frank Welker is married to John Voight. Megatron and the Midnight Cowboy getting it together. Perfect. Think about it. Think about it.
Yes. Right.
That's good times. Man, makes me want to watch this again on a couch with you guys. Like, just
right.
This would have been a great, I hate to say this,
a good live one. Yeah.
Great Nerdtacular episode.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been. And a good live film sack. I mean, it would have been, this is our kind of movie,
maybe,
I think.
Maybe we save the Hasselhoff sequel for,
That's not a bad idea.
Wow.
That's not a bad idea. Someone should preview that, though.
Make sure it's exactly.
We'll get some poor intern to do it.
Iceworm, you're on that.
Here's a good one.
You're on Hasselhoff duty.
Yeah. Here's one for you. Fancy British man has to be on board and have all his shit with him.
Right.
I hate that trope.
My wine.
I hate that too.
Those are expensive bottles of wine.
You can't do that. Careful. And then he's golfing off the. It's, come on, man. Who are you? Wasn't he? He was supposed to narrate it, right? He was kind of like the documentary.
Yeah, he was the documentary. Yeah.
Why do you need him? He's not going to narrate. You do that in post.
Sort of.
Usually,
yeah.
Usually,
he was in front of the camera, though.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. But I mean, normally you have like your Attenborough, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess he goes out a lot. But
he does that.
Planet Earth, Attenborough stayed home. And so did you, because you were on the couch listening to a fantastic audiobook experience from Audible.com. Hey, everybody. Scott Johnson here. Hey, I just wanted to bust in here real quick and tell you that Audible.com is two things, amazing and affordable. Maybe we could add a third thing, which is, they also are, consumer conscious. That means that they are interested in what you do and what you listen to. And they're so interested, in fact, they're going to give you a free audiobook of your choice. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a big Michael Crichton fan. And I used to get Anaconda mixed up with Congo all the time. For some reason, Congo and Anaconda were the same movies to me. I understand that Congo is not a great movie, but Congo the book is really good. So I'm going to recommend you check out Michael Crichton books. You can check out George R. R. Martin books. You can check out Stephen King books. And when I say check out, no, I mean own. I don't mean check out a library. I mean own these audiobook experiences to have in your ears whenever you feel like listening. So go check them out and get a free audiobook today. This is how they're doing it. You just simply go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and you get a free audiobook of your choice. Doesn't matter what it is. Go get the original Jurassic Park book. Why not? That's an awesome book, by the way. Movie's good, too, but man, that book is good. Get that or any other book. Again, free at audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. We appreciate Audible for their support of the show. Now back to Attenborough and where he recorded stuff. He did it in a studio.
I'm not going out.
It was Ripley, wasn't it, for Planet Earth? Wasn't it?
No, you're thinking of...
What's the one that's got
Gorillas of the Mist? No, you're thinking of the other one. There's another one that she does, but Planet Earth, the big old set. That's dude. That's him going.
It's actually both.
We found
it's actually both, Scott.
And inside we found Sigourney Weaver.
Seriously, there's two versions of Planet Earth, and one is narrated by Sigourney Weaver, and the other one's narrated by Richard Attenborough.
I think we have that wrong, though.
Edith Johnson.
I'm not saying she didn't do it. I'm saying I think it's a different movie that was dual narrated. I don't think it's Planet Earth.
It's Planet Earth.
Are you sure?
I promise you, yeah, because I got the wrong... I wanted the Attenborough version. I got the Sigourney Weaver version by accident.
Well, I wonder if one was released for...
Different audiences.
Yeah, exactly, like the American version.
Oh, you're right. David Attenborough, Sigourney Weaver, yep. I could have sworn it was something else. I guess that's it.
I don't know why anyone would
do that. The BBC version was David Attenborough. For Discovery, it was replaced with Sigourney Weaver. That seems really weird.
To me.
It really does.
Not stupid in that she couldn't do it. She's great. But
she's fine. But what's wrong with I don't understand what the fancy British guys say on my TV with the pretty pictures of the leopards.
I'm afraid they're going to put people to sleep, Brian. We got to do something about this stat. How about that pretty lady from the Alien movies? She's pretty good.
I see fish on screen, but I can't understand what that British guy's saying.
I'm about to go to sleep. This is bullshit. Call up Sigourney Weaver. She's on that Ghostbuster. She's real good.
Yeah, you would think that they would have gone for Larry the Cable Guy, right? If that's really the...
That was the thing, yeah.
Larry the Cable... Dadgum. Yeah. And Blackfish right there. And birds flying.
You want to have some...
These can get pert near two semis high when they're fully grown.
It's amazing. These here lizards don't even have eyes because they live in that damn cave. It's amazing.
I'm lying, I'm crying.
Dude. I love it. You guys just described the next Planet Earth thing I would like to see. Okay, moving on. Where are we now? I don't even know. Oh, I did that. Oh, another trope. Pick up crazy guy. Turns out to be a crap magnet.
Wow, man. I would, there's no yeah, way I pick up some dude on Amazon.
Yeah.
Right.
And that Mateo fella had death written all over him. Oh, man.
Right.
He smelled of it. I, the first time I saw him come out with a sweaty face and his long hair, I went, first guy to go.
And he's introduced as a disposable character, too. I mean, he's not integral to the film getting me. It's like, all right, well, anybody can do that. Wasn't he the boat driver? Or was he?
He was the boat driver.
Boat captain? Captain?
Oh, yeah, there you go. What are we calling him? Yeah, he was the boat driver.
The boat, you know, the guy that drove the boat.
Boat driver.
There's the triple trope of the film. There's a triple trope.
Oh, hold on. I can do one. Oh. Let me do that one. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Muskrat.
Okay.
All right. So the main overarching trope of the triple is the mutiny, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Where everybody gets the idea that John Voight's up to no good, and so they decided to turn on him, right? Mm-hmm. That's a trope.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then how they turn on him is via the honeypot. Or the honey trap, which is Jennifer Lopez, right?
Let's just call her the honey pot, but yeah.
She's the honey trap.
Uh-huh. The honey trap is Jennifer Lopez, right? Uh-huh. She goes in to try to convince him. Man, how many movies have we seen where a woman who doesn't actually want to convince a man that she's
into him,
that she's into him does that. Mm-hmm. And then of course, the trope that just blows my mind is that John Voight turns out to be greatest fighter on the boat.
Yeah.
Right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know that. They had no idea that he was the greatest fighter on the boat and he can suddenly do freaking Steven Seagal moves.
Oh, big time. Especially the neck pinch thing with the legs. He's, that was like Bond girl stuff.
He's kind of a big guy.
He's a big, formidable dude, but
he's kind of scary.
Yeah, but he did not do his own stunt.
Not talented enough to, I don't know, get his boat untangled or whatever the problem was. why I had to pick him up in the first place.
My other favorite, my other favorite foreshadowing was the one where he got tossed in the water and Ice Cube goes, "Oh no, man, the tranquilizer fell out of his back." Okay, anyway, and they came like nothing's going to happen.
Don't worry, we could just leave that. Yeah, chick in the bucket.
Chick in the bucket. We keep forgetting to do those. Is there a real, like, hold on. This movie has a chick in the bucket. Who is it? I think it's Stoltz, but whatever.
He's kind of the chick in the bucket with
the tracheotomy.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a chick in the bucket, but so Ice Cube and J-Lo were up in the shanty at the end, right? Which I think was John Voight's shanty, wasn't it? Wasn't it his?
It's like his little trap place or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They discover something and then they hear a noise behind him. They look around and John Voight hits him with the buttstock of his gun.
Right.
Thanks to Chinbeard for letting me know.
Yeah.
How does he knock both of them out at the same time with the buttstock?
Oh, great question.
No idea. There's so many things like that.
It's good.
Sympathy pain. Ice Cube just went, man, that must suck. And falls up, fellow.
Oh, man. Ow.
Damn, yo. Or whatever he says.
This movie has esophagovision.
Oh, esophagovision, dude, that was awesome.
It cannot be Panavision, but it's esophagovision.
I wanted that to go on so much longer than it did.
What was the movie we saw where I kept saying snake vision?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of movies that go point of view on the bad guy.
Right.
Like that's a trope in and of itself, point of view from the bad guys. But this one, for some reason, the camera's lodged way down the snake, in the middle of the snake. Like,
right. Yeah, and the way that looked with him just getting fed in there, that was awesome. That was going to be our image for this blog, and I couldn't capture it fast enough because that was freaking great. I'll bet you can find it out there somewhere. But, that was one of my favorite scenes. Thanks for bringing that up. Let's see. What else? I wrote down, you can't kill John Voight. Here's an interesting lesson in the anatomy of my notes. My top note says, sweet, Eric Stoltz is in this. Because remember, first time seeing it, I didn't know who was in it. I didn't really pay attention. So I said, sweet, Eric Stoltz is in this. My last note, Stoltz is useless in this movie.
Right.
Jump ahead, right? He really was. What good did he do? Yeah. I know he came out and hit somebody on the head once and they did that thing I talked about last week where he started smacking him in the throat where he knew his hole was.
Just jamming his thumb into his trachea.
Yeah. Oh, gross, dude. That sounds gross, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Jam your thumb in your trachea.
I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Right.
Was it this movie that he told us, wait till you see what I can do with my thumb?
Yeah.
No, that was last week.
Was that last week?
Last week, yeah, there was the maniacal scientist Samantha Mathis tries to attack, but he sees the reflection in his glasses.
Yeah. That was great.
So bad.
And that happened in this one, too, because old John Voight saw the Ice Cube sneaking up on the reflection. Yeah.
It was. What was the reflection in, though? What was he seeing?
He's like holding like
some kind of something on the wall, I think.
That's a big fat trope, dude. People do that all the time.
Yeah. Some
bad or good guy coming up because of someone's sunglasses. Somebody's wearing aviators. Know, stupid.
Right, but it kind of got me because I was like, oh, man, that's going to fail. Ice Cube's going to get his butt kicked. And then British guy pops him from outside the window. And I was like, oh, where'd he come from?
Club.
Yeah.
That guy.
You know what fascinated me about this movie was that it really loved the trope of the diminishing party, right? You have a party of people,
right.
And they're slowly getting to be fewer and fewer and fewer. And that trope is really hard to hold up because you have to put people in a place where they can't be replenished. And they're on a freaking river, and they never come across other people? Like, really?
Yeah.
They're just going down the river. Like, name a trip movie where they – you're freaking in the wilderness and never come across anyone at all, except
the River Wild.
Except for the one people they ran into on Deliverance. That
oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. That's
well, but Deliverance. Up, yeah. Deliverance was about. Well, oh my God!
Squeal like a pig.
Never mind. I'm not gonna
tell us what Deliverance was about.
They should have used Frank Welker for that. Wee!
This is the same noise for the snake, yeah.
Right, may as well have been.
The diminishing party is kind of a sad trope. Like, it's no longer that entertaining to me at all. Like, I don't sit around wondering, well, who's going to be the last to live, you know?
I wish because I had a discordant sounding trope.
I think that's what I find interesting about it is the whole, at the beginning, all right, who's going to make it to the end? All right, Jennifer Lopez has to make it.
Right.
Ice Cube, I was happy to see. I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
For I don't know, I couldn't tell you why. I just think it's great that he lived because he seemed like a throw. You could throw him away, but nobody. You don't kill Ice Cube.
Mm-mm.
Baby.
Mm-mm. Nobody puts Ice Cube in a corner.
So now that we're there, most ham-handed Hollywood ending you've ever seen
in my life.
Yeah.
In my life.
Oh man.
This is a Hollywood ending that's hard to believe. It's literally got a sunrise and the swelling.
I don't know. They discover the lost tribe of the mists or whatever it is.
Oh, exactly. Right. They suddenly came out of nowhere.
Yes.
Because they heard the snake got killed.
That's right.
Yeah. Yo, it's I the heard the snake got killed.
Out when the Wicked Witch got a house trapped.
That's exactly right. Hold on. Now, this is you said that, Randy, and my brain went immediately to a scene that I cannot seem to assign to the film it's from. But there's some egregious example in the front of my brain here. And it involves a sunset, by the way.
Was it the Warriors?
Usually it's a sunrise. A sunrise is the Hollywood ending. We've been in the night in bad times, and we get out of it, and the sun comes up.
Waterworld's got a pretty ham-fisted ending when they find the dirt. They find the land.
Yeah.
I know that's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's a good example. It's just such an easy thing. It's the easy thing to do. You know, a lot of people complain that I like Quarantine so much.
Right.
But part of what whatever the Spanish one or whatever is supposed to be better, and that's fine. But the reason,
don't get me wrong. I think a Hollywood ending can be really, really fun.
Yeah.
Like the ending of Snakes on a Plane is fun. I love that kind of Hollywood ending. This was like, wait a minute, all your comrades just got killed. What are you doing? Like, you guys have just been through hell. You're going to be suffering from PTSD for years, and you need therapy right now. What are you doing? How is this even a...
Well, there's a way to do this right. So Aliens, the second Aliens movie, 3 ruined it, but the end of 2 did it right. It's like, all right, well, we got half of Bishop in a bag covered in goo. We got Newt in a chamber thing and having a little conversation with bikini underwear wearing Sigourney Weaver. And you got Hicks is asleep and in his little unit. And that's a very few people compared to who went there. And so there's been a lot of loss, but you still kind of sense that loss, but you also sense this weird optimism moving forward and it's some unknown. Like that works for me when the ending is, wow, that's sure a hell of a lot better than it was when the snake was around. But things could, you know, things aren't totally done or whatever. And there's lots of examples of this. I think Minority Report, shut up, Brian, don't wait for a second. Minority Report has a great ending because they get the cogs out of the precogs out of the pool and in some house in the middle of nowhere where they can't sense so much psionic, you know, activity or whatever.
Go ahead, keep saying it. Just keeps getting down stupider, doesn't it? As you say it, yeah.
and that movie even has, like, I think there's a sunset and the camera pulls away and the music plays and all of that. So there's a bit of that cheese, yeah, and that ham-fistedness. But there's still a kind of, man, what's their life going to be like moving forward? Like there's a piece of it that still feels pensive and interesting and whatever. I just say there's a way to do it. This movie totally did not decide to go that route. It went total sunset right off in the sunset. Forget everybody's died. Forget that anything bad happened. It's just a rapper and Jenny from the Block, dude. And they're
forget that there might be another snake and another snake and another snake. You would want to get out of Dodge
right.
so much.
Right. Right, right. And then mm-hmm. let Hasselhoff clean up the mess 10 years later. good times. Well, anyone else think of anything? You want clips now? Is that what you want? You want clips?
Clips.
With some clips.
All right, clip time. Here we go. This is, let's see, Stoltz talking about J-Lo or talking to her.
I think we may have a chance.
Well, you get me there and I'll shoot it.
I'm counting on that.
How much more fun would this movie be if Eric Stoltz was in Rocky Dennis makeup the whole time?
Right.
That'd be pretty great. Yeah. Could Ice Cube be more street? Oh, yeah. So here he is talking some street.
Oh, yeah. Not every day my homegirl from SC get to direct her own documentary. You ready?
Sounded fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of fake. Very fake. We should have known the writing was on the wall. He was not straight out of Compton. He was straight out of, I don't know.
Well, and he's working with a horrible script right here and a South American director who clearly didn't have any clue. Like, it's just so bad.
Guy probably had a better accent, though, than what's his name.
Right?
John Voight's car. All right, let's see. Expensive wine. What? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Expensive wine! Christ!
Right when he's coming on with the guys.
Yeah. I love how he ended Christ! On such a high-pitched note.
Expensive wine! Christ!
What's another movie where the hoity-toity British guy is constantly put out?
All of them.
Arthur?
No, Arthur doesn't count.
No, it's kind of the opposite.
Okay. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, when he's dragging his university buddy with him the whole time. Mm-hmm. They're out of their element. They're not used to adventure. They need their creature comforts. It's common. I bet we could come up with 10 movies if our brains are working at all tonight.
Yeah.
I can't think of any more. Here's Voight's weird voice. First time you hear it.
What does a failed priest do in the jungle?
Fail? Who says I fail? I didn't fail.
Trope, cutting up fish. Like
I didn't fail.
What's funny is I was going to remark earlier that the director probably said, you know, nobody knows what a Paraguayan accent sounds like. Don't worry about it. And then I just realized that the director is from Peru. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's a South American director. I don't understand what he's thinking here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, if you think of
I'm not going to show anybody in my home.
They will never see it.
Continent. Nobody from my continent will ever see this.
They will never see this. They are going to.
Crap, it's a success.
They will have me killed. All right. I shouldn't say that. Maybe he's been killed. I don't know.
Maybe a real Peruvian accent is this pastiche of 17 different accents. Maybe.
I love the word pastiche, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
One of my favorite words.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, thanks for using pastiche. Might be the first time in the history of the show.
Nice.
I liked it. Right. Wild boar. Oh, here's some advice about wild boars.
Wild boar. Gores with his tusks. Goes for the eyes.
A lot of eye references.
That made no sense to me at all.
Wild boar.
Okay, it goes for the eyes. The thing is 2 feet tall. I'm 5 foot something.
Right.
I don't think he's going to go for my eyes. Ankles maybe, and then the eyes, but he's not going straight for the eyes.
It's really very effective when you're laying down. Boar can kill you in thousands of ways.
Yeah, if you have more monkey blood on your eyes, it's not a problem for them to go.
I don't often kill with boar, but when I do.
What scared me when you first hear the boar for the first time, I thought it was the snake.
And oh, like, the sound, yeah.
Oh, my God, they're using pig noises for the snake.
Yeah. Well, you weren't far off. You weren't far off.
Yeah, that's true. They do that.
Yeah, you weren't far off at all. All right. Here's more Ice Cube.
That's it, man. I'm getting the hell back to L.A.
course, because that's where you're from. Because you got your street
game
clothes
over,
on.
Man. Game over.
He was the Hudson of this movie.
Yeah, he was the Hudson.
Why couldn't he be getting the hell back to Albuquerque? I want variety.
You know what? There are some analogs here. So he's the Hudson. I'm going to say Eric Stoltz is the Hicks. Because even Hicks gets like acid on his face and can't function for a while and is kind of out of it for a while. Who is
J-Lo's the Ripley?
J-Lo's the Ripley. this is working. Okay, hold on.
Ash. John Voight is the Ash.
Yeah, right. Totally the Ash.
Skipping a movie here. I
mean, Owen Wilson.
Who is Owen Wilson? Owen Wilson's he's kind of a Hudson too, but he's the Hudson that didn't die. I can't think of anything else. Who's the Newt? Okay. Is it, we have a Newt?
They come out at night, really. Mostly.
Baby girl or baby bird.
Baby bird. Dakari Word.
Who's the aliens stereotypical British guy?
Oh,
Paul Reiser.
But he also kind of turned into the John Voight guy a little
kind
bit.
Of, yeah.
It's kind of a combination. Yeah, Paul Reiser. That's totally
bringing
right.
My alien very wife
well
back.
Well done.
All this makes me want to do is watch Aliens. Okay. Right. Up next,
this Luis Llosa guy.
Yeah.
The director of this thing. The
auteur, I like to refer to him as.
actually, I realize I've seen a bunch of his movies.
Like what?
Oh, really?
Okay, The Specialist, which is Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone movie. That's hard to say.
Okay. Right. Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone. Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone. Wow, that's rough.
he directed that thing.
Yeah.
He directed the Tom Berenger movie, Sniper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, that's a great movie too, by the way.
I kind of liked. Yeah. He's responsible for Fire on the Amazon. And if you haven't seen that, Scott Johnson, Sandra Bullock.
Oh, no, I have seen this one. It's where she's super nasty and naked in it.
Okay.
Right. No, she is. It's her, like, her one. It was like a before she did anything else, and she was like bucking. So
I just led Scott right by the nose there.
Yeah, I know what that is.
This guy could be, he could end up being one of the FilmSack directors. Like, we could end up seeing a bunch of these.
Now, I meant to tell you guys earlier, and I totally forgot. I put a link in the Skype of Owen Wilson holding or standing.
Oh, I saw it.
By some photos. I'm telling you right now, his nose looks more broken now than it ever has in the history of his life.
Yeah.
He's accepting it.
What is going on with that? Look at that?
I know. It just looks like it's dangling by the middle part.
I worry for him. No more Shanghai Surprise or whatever the hell those movies are called. What was that called with
it's not Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon,
isn't it?
I would like to believe that I'm not that vain. You know, like, I don't, for example, shave around and shape up my beard more than like once a month.
Right. Same here.
But if my nose, like, I guess you'd have to put me in a car wreck or something to give me like a misshapen nose. If I look like that, I'd get it fixed.
I think I would too.
I'm going with Owen Wilson because his whole family has a little bit of odd noses anyway, and I think it served him well as being a unique look. Because I'm telling you, man, Jennifer Grey in the Dirty Dancing days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once she
even though she
fixed.
Was yeah she was you know everybody thought oh but look at that nose man yeah. She made a. When she got it fixed, it was like she was just another pretty
face.
She's
pretty, but blended right into the
world. Career ender, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, sort of. Didn't she end up marrying Ferris Bueller or something? Oh, no. She married
Coulson, Agent Coulson.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But maybe that's because she wasn't ever destined for greatness. It may have.
Nobody puts Jennifer Grey in the corner.
Let's not blame her career failure on the fact that she got a nose job, please.
A lot of people think that that's the reason, though. If she just didn't get any roles anymore because she wasn't recognizable.
There was
anymore.
A sitcom that she was in right after
that
her nose.
That sitcom was
called,
really good.
It was really good. It was called It's yeah. Like You Know, which probably another reason it failed was that horrible name. But right. It had so many people in it that
and they
went on to do other things. And the joke with her was that she had just had her nose done and she wasn't as recognizable, but she played herself. She played Jennifer Grey.
Oh, weird.
Right.
What was
right.
it called? The More You Know?
It's The More You Know. It's called, It's Like You Know.
It's Like You Knows. N-O-S-E?
No, no.
It's Like Your Nose. Got it. Okay.
And this is an old series, too. This is what, like,
1999.
Where is
this? Not that old.
Yeah. Well, that's 13 years. That's
well.
I'm frustrated because we're talking about Owen Wilson's really unusual looking face, and we ended up talking about some woman. The dude is hard to look at.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, he's really hard to look at, and he's an actor. Okay, fine if you're in comedy. Fine if you're if you're such a great actor that you're like Paul Giamatti. Fine. Right. But in this case, and I mean, we're talking about early in his career, he's kind of supposed to be he's supposed to be a little eye candy here. He's supposed to be something to look at,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not all comic relief, yeah, right?
He's been in a bunch of rom-coms and stuff like that where he was the romantic dude and all that. I just think the broken nose thing works because you look like a college frat boy for a while, but now it looks like really broken and you ought to go just get it reset.
Has he ever played a hockey player? It seems like...
Should.
Yeah, just perfect casting.
Yeah, do a remake of... What was that one with Paul Newman?
Slapshot.
Yeah.
Black out a few of those teeth.
I thought you were going to say DuckTales. No, that one.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Mighty Ducks?
I've been watching the Mighty Ducks. That's it. DuckTales is the cartoon.
DuckTales.
DuckTales. Woo! Emilio Estevez. Woo! Anyway, I've been watching a lot of West Wing, still watching it, and it is remarkable how much Emilio Estevez and Martin Sheen look alike, and how little Charlie Sheen looks like the other two. Right. It's a different mom, I think, but same dad.
Yeah, but Emilio Estevez can follow Charlie Sheen. Like, I really, really wanted Emilio Estevez to take over his role on 2.5 Men. I really wanted that.
That would have been cool.
Because they have a lot of similarities.
Yeah. Well, except I don't care about that show at all. But if I did... I think that would be, I think that'd be cool, but I,
still
but
it would have been enough to make me want to watch that show.
But it was so in the middle of watching all this West Wing, I just happened to watch, I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, happened to watch Breakfast Club again. And it's remarkable. The resemblance. It's really, really weird. It is like watching a really old Emilio Estevez play President Bartlett. It's odd. I don't know why I'm bringing any of this up, but there you have it.
Yeah.
What is up with this accent? Did I play this already?
Look, I can blow in 10 minutes. Sorry if, you're feeling sensitive, we could turn around and lose 2 days. It's up to you.
Dude, Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
It is. It totally is.
It's just Inigo Montoya. That's all he's doing.
All right. What? No, what's this?
Someone get this bloody thing off my freaking hand!
Oh, yeah.
That little
snake. It could be this freaking thing off my bloody hand, too.
Why couldn't he just yank it off? What was the problem?
It was on him.
But that's all.
It was a little...
Voight did. Like, he pulled it off.
Yeah.
Pinch it off, John Voight. Pinch it off.
Like, let's go.
If that was on your finger, wouldn't you at least be smacking at it over and over and over to try to get it off?
Yeah.
Something.
That grossed me out, actually. That was a pretty good effect. I don't like the idea of little animals on my fingers biting me.
Little animals.
But that was just a rubber. That was just a rubber snake.
Oh, of course it was.
Effect.
Well, right. Right. No, I know. I know that. But that worked on me. That kind of had me. It's kind of like rolling Owen Wilson over in the water once.
What's the movie where a guy gets bitten on the nipple by a snake? Is it?
Oh,
and it's a con. Is it like one of those?
Is it a Jackass
Apatow
movie?
Jackass has done that, but that's not it.
It was an alligator in Jackass, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Steve-O have an alligator on his nipple.
Yeah, but if you watch Wild Boys, that you want to watch Steve-O get bitten the nipple 50 times a minute. That's the show to watch. Oh man, every animal they ran into in that Amazon jungle would bite him in the nipple. I swear. This is before he was sober. So
thank you for freshening my memory. Thank you.
Yeah, but there seems like there's something else.
Yeah, like it was like an Apatow movie or something along those lines, like a Saving Silverman where the main character gets a snake stuck on his nipple and he can't get it off.
Yeah, I can't think of what, but I think Brian's right. That's gonna
do a Google search for snake on the nipple.
Yeah, snake on the nipple.
No.
Image. Google images.
No,
turn off safe search, Brian. Turn off safe search.
Let's see what we get here. How many pages of images do I get before I see something that I don't want to see?
What is it again? Snake nipple? What'd you say?
Oh, right there. First line. Wow.
Snake on a
nipple. Hold on. I went to Google stuck on the nipple and Google said, do you mean stuck nipple in water heater?
Yes. Of course you did.
How the hell do you get a what?
Well, this is all nipple rings here now.
Yeah. It's all nipple rings.
Okay. Well, hey, listen, you want to know let me tell you the two things I'll never have done. Nipple ring, ever.
Uh-huh.
Penis ring, ever. Who's doing that?
Well, you just naming like the most sensitive places, like the places that would hurt the most.
The places
here.
I would never let anyone stick metal through. I don't understand it. I will never, I understand self-expression. I understand, you know, whatever, body modification. I judge no one, but Are you letting a dude stick a metal rod through your yin yang? What the hell are you doing, man?
Was it Snakes on a Plane that had the snake biting somebody?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It was Samuel L. Jackson.
Nick Fury. Nipple.
You're right, but you're right. It was because the guy in the bathroom, there was a guy who went to the bathroom and there was a snake that actually jumped on his penis, wasn't it?
His penis,
okay.
It was on his...
I like the word penis.
Manhood.
Mm-hmm. The word penis and the word... What was the word other... Brian, Randy said earlier? What was the other word?
Pastiche.
Pastiche.
I would like a pastiche of penises.
I love it. Okay. Where was I?
I'm so glad you beeped out the F bomb I used at the beginning of the episode. Yeah,
thanks for the reminder, actually. Let's do this bit here. What's this one? I don't remember now.
Is snakes out there this big?
What? This big?
This big?
Mr. White?
It is funny, like, how his street vacillated back and forth too, from being super street to I guess if we go into the shack there, we might be able to find something.
I know, it's interesting. The camera and film what we're seeing here.
It's interesting. Ice Cube is entertaining. Owen Wilson is entertaining. We are not at all talking about J-Lo, the person who is for the last like 10 years the most famous and successful person from this movie. We barely mentioned her.
I like her.
Yeah, I think we have barely mentioned her.
No, she's okay in this, but generally, I've never really had a problem. I understand everyone has issues with their personal life and all that, but as an actor or like things she's in, I've never had a problem with Jennifer Lopez ever. I think she's cute. I think she's interesting. I actually kind of was entertained by Made in Manhattan. I know. I know it's a terrible rom-com, but there's something about it, and she's sweet in it, and I like her. So I've never had this problem with
J-Lo. I liked her in Selena's.
But she's not Selena.
Wow. I love the movie Selena. I just want to admit that right now. I love that movie.
Admiral, what's his name in there?
Adama.
Adama's in there, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who's also on West Wing, believe it or not. Anyway, yeah, she's fine. I don't know if this movie was all that, she just kind of came off as the most normal person and didn't really, I mean, there's nothing really crazy going on with her, but she's fine. I didn't mind it.
Except when she tried to seduce John Voight by putting on lipstick on top of her sweaty nastiness.
Ugh, dude. And he was really kissing him, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he gets in one last kiss, though, after he's figured out the rules.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
What do you guys think John Voight's breath smells like? What do you think?
Oh.
Gumball. Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Whiskey and hard-boiled eggs. Whiskey.
No, wow. That's Randy.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
What do you say, Randy? You say you know what?
Roquefort cheese.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Roquefort cheese.
All of these are pretty good. I can't really. You know what? I'm going to say tomato soup.
You know what? I think you guys are all wrong. I think John Voight is actually a very clean man. I think he tastes like gummy worms.
Gross.
Tastes like.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, we were looking for breath smell, but sure, we'll go with taste. Sure,
well, if you get that far.
Well, he knows this Jennifer. Yeah, she had to kiss him. She's not smelling him. She's kissing him.
Ugh. Gross. Poor girl. Like Jenny from the block. So
we might have to watch The Cell at some point for film sec. Wasn't that the big sci-fi thing she did?
Yeah. Where she wore the muscle suit. She was slim good buddy.
That's a really weird movie.
Mm-hmm. No, I will set that out.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Now we definitely got to watch it.
I watched that movie the night it opened in the theater. I used to live across the street from a movie theater. That's why I'm sitting here talking to you right now. I spent 5 years of my life like seeing every new movie every single Friday night and Saturday night. Wow. And I'm telling you, I will not watch The Cell. The Cell is one of the five worst films I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I just hate that movie.
How does it rank in the five? Number one, number five, where's it at?
It's definitely not number one. It's just so bad. I don't understand.
We should sometime have a round table of best and worst and just do a whole show.
Right. What movies would we all opt out of
I've been looking to poll the audience, the FilmSack listeners. I've been interested in running some polls in the blog where we ask things like, you know, like we give you 10 nominees and you vote on what was the worst film
that we've watched. And 10 nominees, and what was the funniest film that we watched, that sort of thing.
Right. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be all right. We can include that and do just a whole episode, like the best and the worst or something. Maybe we should make it an annual tradition at a certain time of year, like around the Oscars or something like that. I don't know. We'll think about it.
The Sackies.
Bloody Poodle. Oh, I already did that one. didn't I?
I'm not your bloody poodle.
Well, there it is.
Right. Okay. No, you hadn't, but I love that. No,
that's great.
Thank
you. What was that again?
I did that.
Not your bloody poodle.
I'm not your bloody poodle.
When John Voight asked him to take something upstairs or something into his little
He wouldn't carry his stuff around. The little British man wouldn't.
It's like not angry acting, but like cough acting or something.
Right.
Not your bloody poodle.
Here's where you don't want to get leeches.
Last time I was in water like this, I was up all night picking leeches off my scrotum.
Best part of that scene is that was so overdubbed.
I wish there wasn't all that ambient sound because you could use that. That's really funny.
Leeches off my scrotum. Fantastic. Don't piss off.
Come on. No. Come on. Got to merge that with Brian Dunaway's soundboard clash.
Oh, with his scrotum.
My scrotum.
There you go. Excuse me.
My scrotum.
No, you got to play the clip from the movie and then insert.
Oh, I got to do it that way? Okay, hang on. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Here's your clip.
Last time I was in water like this, I was up all night picking leeches off my scrotum.
My scrotum.
There you go.
Close enough. All right.
We did it live. Okay. Don't piss off J-Lo. That's the next bit of advice. Don't piss off J-Lo. Jeez.
Wow.
Listen to her, dude.
That's actually... That is actually scarier than the actual snake in the movie.
Hey, I think I know why John or what's it? I can't think it was Nick Ben Affleck left her, dude. Think of that.
Yeah.
Think of that on a Friday night at home.
Take out the trash.
Terrible. All right. Fletcher says this.
Never look in the eyes of those you kill. They will haunt you forever. I know.
Yeah, they'll pop out and wink at you before they're really done.
Yeah, that's BS. I've killed plenty of people and I've never been haunted.
Mm-hmm. There's something creepy about the snake biting your neck, you know? Like when it's holding you there.
Right. Ugh. Oh, yeah. Bleh. And it also breaks their necks a lot of times. That's pretty effective.
Okay, here's another one.
Is it just me?
No, we heard this.
Or does the jungle make you really, really horny?
I couldn't not hear that again. That's fantastic.
That actually stuck out for me. Like up to that point in the movie, I was watching one movie and then Owen Wilson says that and I'm like, oh, okay. So it's that level of geez.
Yeah. It's like a Friday the 13th thing to say, you know, when the kids go off into the woods and make out and get killed.
Okay, but why didn't the movie commit to that? Wow. If it had committed to being like a Freddy movie, awesome.
Oh.
No.
I can't. Sounds like a bad idea. All right. Let's. That's it for clips. Let's get to the award show that we like to call the awards. This is where we give awards to films for their performance in our ears. And this one has won the following awards. Best Little Finger Nibbler Snake Tech Award. Looked pretty good, I thought. I got the award for the You Should Have Shot the Thing in the Face a Lot Earlier Award. That snake was oftentimes looking right at you. You could have just shot it in the eye. Just saying.
John Voight's wife.
Also, dumb face on those snakes. They look dumb. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also wins Runs Away with the Bad CGI, Even for the Era Award.
Yeah.
If you're paying $100,000 a second, you did not get what you paid for.
Yeah.
Shut up, Dunaway. let's see. Let's move on to Star Trek stuff. We have none. Daryl missed it. We didn't do that. Not his fault. He's had a lot
going on. I thought I had one.
Not yet. Well, he even says he didn't do it yet. But if you have one. Oh, yeah. There's got to be somebody like...
That great Ice Cube episode of Star Trek.
DS9 with the... We had the...
If there is one, I will find it by the end of the show. Give me a little chance here.
That was the episode called Straight Out of Compton 5. That was the name of that episode. All right, let's do a soundtrack grade for the film. It got a KR for Kind of Rad, I thought it was great. Didn't have a problem with it. Hit all the right notes.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and tense. Thought it was fun. I don't know who did it, but I liked it. All right, let's get to Twitter posts. This is where
already got it.
Oh, what? Who? What? Who?
Frank Welker.
Frank Welker.
He was all over the Star Trek video games, and he played an alien in Voyager.
Perfect. Thank you. Well, that's dead. That's dead perfect that he did
I would have. I would have put money on Jonathan Hyde having some sort of Star Trek connection, but I guess not.
Voight, maybe.
John Voight, you mean?
No, Hyde, no, no, the British guy, right?
Yeah, the British guy.
Yeah.
My wine! Yeah, guys!
Yeah, he could have been something. Ambassador Flim Flam from Planet Nebulon 2.
The Star Trek machine came up with nothing for Jonathan Hyde.
Bummer.
Oh, weird. All right, well, anyway. Twitter post. Let's do this. 140 characters or less, please. Let's start with Randy.
Anaconda. Director Luis Llosa imagines Apocalypse Now, only with John Voight married to a snake, you know, to have and to hold until death do us. Oh, the irony.
Nice. Fantastic. Mr. Dunaway.
Anaconda, like a wild boar on the Amazon. Go straight for the eyes. Straight for the eyes.
Nice. That boar thing.
Has anybody seen the Shimmy Shabba tribe?
No.
Shimmy Shabba?
No. The Shimmy Shabba?
That's what they called him, the Shimmy Shabba tribe.
The Shimmy Shabba.
Yeah, it's a whole
movie. Go on and see the Shimmy Shabba tribe. Mm-hmm. Everybody, no, I don't think anybody knows how to say it because they kept kind of trailing off. The Shimmy Shabba tribe.
hoping we didn't hear the fake thing
they
made up.
That's one of the first things we're going to ask when we do this documentary. What do you guys call?
Oh, yeah, those tribes, they totally got away with a few.
Boobies.
You see that?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Nature boobies. That's what those were. Way down, you could tuck them in your pants, kind of boobies.
Mm-hmm, yeah. National Geographic.
So excited when I saw this was PG-13. I thought I was gonna see some, some Kari Wara boobs. Nope, saggy boobs.
Yeah, my brother used to call them ski slopers. I don't know why, but that's what he called them.
Weird.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. My older brother, not my Korean brother. He wouldn't have called it anything. let's move to Ibbot.
He's a mute.
That's right. Ibbot, what do you say?
Anaconda, my anaconda, don't want none unless you got buns, hon. Oh, J-Lo's got buns? No, still don't want it.
I used to like her for the same reason I like Jennifer Lawrence, because she's just kind of, she was normal looking. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm attracted to just normal girls. All right, let's move on to what I learned while you sent Owen Wilson to rig an ancient snake dam with dynamite. Okay. If you blow up a dam with dynamite 30 yards away, plan on being pelted with a few hundred baby snakes and losing 5 barrels of fuel that roll off the front of the boat.
Right.
That seemed a little overzealous to me.
Hey, and in this movie, apparently gas tanks sink and metal boxes full of metal float.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on, get it straight. Duh. Movie could have benefited from some smaller digital cameras for Cube to lug around. Good Lord. You forget 97 what was still considered equipment. Mateo does not know how to get off the back of a boat. That guy's an idiot. supposed to be familiar with the jungle. Right. And there's a photo of him and Danny Trejo and John Voight holding this giant snake. And it's like, nope, you just slipped, you idiot. And then finally, where did Cube get all those dry matches? That's what I learned.
Oh.
Think about that. Think about that.
They were in his butt.
Nah, that's right. As you learned,
that's not dry.
We learned on Friday After Next that Ice Cube keeps...
Never look in the eyes of those you kill. They will haunt you forever.
I don't know why that's running. I didn't push it. That's weird. My computer's haunted.
That was fun.
I didn't push that. That's weird. All right. Well, anyway, we got an email from a listener. This is from... oh, no. I've lost it. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. Musical movie request from Dan Sweetman. Dan Sweetman. Maybe it's Sweetman. I don't know.
Sweetman.
Lick me and I taste good. howdy, y'all. He says, I would like to recommend the movie/musical from 1963, Bye Bye Birdie, with Dick Van Dyke and Janet Lee.
Janet Lee.
These are old people. I don't know.
No, come on.
Janet Lee, I don't know who she is.
Psycho, exactly.
Oh, well, then I have seen her. She in the shower?
Yeah, she's in the shower.
That one? Okay.
That's the one.
Yep.
Bye Bye Birdie is normally a comedy musical, but the movie takes a turn and has little to do to no relevance to the actual musical. I have performed this on stage as Hugo Peabody, and I know the musical really well, and this movie is shite compared to the musical. I find this movie sackable. For you guys, and would love to hear what you guys have to say about it. P.S. You can use my name on the show. Well, thanks, Dan, sweet man.
Sweet.
I read it for two reasons. One, I know nothing about that movie or that play, but how do you guys feel about musicals. Like as
I would love done to
one.
Do a
we
musical.
Did that. We did that one with.
But it wasn't really
Repo,
a musical.
Repo, genetic.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but like I'm thinking of things like I don't know, Newsies or
Little Shop of Horrors,
Guys and Dolls.
Oof. Rocky Horror.
Like actual true musicals.
I don't know. Well,
see,
I guess
Rocky Horror would be a good one. Yeah.
Would it? Okay. I mean, could we get away with like?
Was
I don't know if we could do
a
Bye Bye Birdie.
Moulin Rouge would be hard because.
Clue.
What Clue? What are you talking about? You can't do Clue. Clue is not a musical. There's Clue. I can't think of any of them that really jump out and say to me, "Oh yeah, you got to make sure you watch that." Maybe the one he's saying we should, but I just don't know if musicals fit. So I don't know.
I would like to
idea.
Try. I love musicals.
Sure. Yeah.
Listeners, write in and say what musicals you think we should do.
There hasn't really been a sci-fi musical, has there?
Genetic Opera is pretty much it.
Yeah, that's as close, yeah.
Trying to think. Are we sure about that?
I'm looking right now to see if there's a...
I can't think of anything like that.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we'll do some checking. But if you... listeners at home, if you have a suggestion that fits that criteria or...
And it's streaming. We really need something that's streaming.
Yeah, we prefer those. I mean, next week's movie, by the way, is The Island, which is not currently streaming.
And also not a musical.
Also not a musical, but but it was given to us by a listener, so we are always obligated to do those because we want to do them. And we make exceptions there. But for the most part, we'd like to try to, you know, get it so everyone has the best chance of seeing it. Before we do an episode. So anyway,
okay,
The Island.
Something called Sci-Fi High, the movie musical from 2011.
Sci-Fi High?
Starring Danny Dillon, Ted Nappy, Alicia Holden, Natalie Necifero, and Bob Fattorini.
Wait a minute.
Wow, all-star cast then.
Sci-Fi High, the movie musical.
Sci-fi. Is this a Sci-Fi Channel thing?
It's available. It's a movie. I'm trying to see if it was released in... theaters? I don't even see if it's on Netflix. This is on Amazon.
It's not on IMDb at all.
Really?
No, I cannot find Sci-Fi High. Oh, wait, no. There it is. Movie musical 2010. It says got a 3.7 average. Yeah, it's got no info hardly.
It really doesn't. Yeah. I mean, there's not even box art.
There's one review. It says dreadful musical, dreadful production values. This is the bottom of the barrel. So maybe that's not the one we want. Or maybe it is. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. So suggestions.
If somebody's
everyone.
Seen it,
please,
yeah, let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody out there, let us know. We'd love it. All right. Well, that's it. Let's get out of here. Let's be done. Thank you guys all for joining us. We love having you here on the podcast, the Film Sack podcast. So we get closer to Nerdtacular. We'll let you know what our plans are for the live version of the show, what movie we're going to pick. And one of you, I don't know who it was specifically, but one of you paid on Kickstarter to be at the table with us. And I'm excited figure that out and see who you are. That's going to be awesome. In the meantime, go to the website, filmsack.com. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com and find us on Twitter @filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love to get those. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Yeah.
We'll see you next time. Yeah. Yeah.
Christ!
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there. Whee!